This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey guys, before we start the episode, we just want to tell everyone we're on YouTube.
That's right, we're on YouTube.
You going to sing it?
We're on YouTube.
If you want to see Sophie's beautiful face, not in real life, but it's on the screen, you can. You go to our YouTube channel.
Newly, you want to see Jamie's beautiful face.
Our YouTube channel is called Newlyweds Podcast. Go and check it out. Hopefully enjoy the videos. We put them up there for you guys to enjoy it. All right, should we begin the episode, honey?
Let's do it.
I love you.
Love you.
Okay, let's go. You're looking at your phone.
I'm ready though.
What are you looking at? Instagram.
So my phone is like doing these weird things where on my like homepage,
yeah,
an old photo comes up. I'm not a fan of it.
Why? What photo just popped
up? Honestly, your arsehole sometimes comes up.
What?
Not that he sends me photos of his ass, but there's like this rash on it. Anyway, TMI.
What do you mean there's a rash on it?
And like before I've had to use, instead of torching, oh no, you've asked me to take a photo of it to show you.
What do you mean I've asked you to take a photo of my ass?
You have like this awful thing inside your arsehole.
No, I don't. Say you can't just say that and stop there, especially at the beginning of the episode. What do you mean I have something awful in my arsehole?
Well, there's two awful things, but we won't go into one. But you have a rash that's been there for so many years, and it grows and then it shrinks and then it grows. I think it's impetigo, which is absolutely foul, which is literally like an infection of bacteria.
Where is it?
Inside your bum cheeks. What is the other thing in my arsehole? I'm not going into that because everyone's heard it. You've clearly liked to talk about it.
I don't know what you're talking about. You think it's something to hold as a token of coolness
because it's anything but.
What else are you talking about?
It's like a gold badge you like to walk around. I have piles. No. They've actually even laughed at that.
I didn't realise you were talking about that.
What other thing is in your past? Because
I'm worried about this rash that's in my bum, and I got on all fours and she spread open my bum to take a photo of it, and then she said, God, your past is like a grape. you said it a groan.
It's not a hard grape, it's like a shriveled up grape. It's absolutely vile. It's so vile, and I'm really sorry, but I just like no, not quite. More like a raisin. It's like a big sultana. That's exactly what it's like. It's not quite as wrinkly as a raisin. It's like got a bit of water pumped into it, so it's like a sultana. That size as well.
It's not the size of a raisin.
No, it's bigger. It's a sultana. Yeah, it's like, you know, the rank purple grape at the end of the packet that like has been squashed a bit. That's what it's like. A small one.
It's not, honey.
It is, and it's vile. And I just constantly think, like, fair play to you having sex with people before me and never being self-conscious of that.
Well, who's going to see it?
Well, I don't know. You might be, like, flipping around all over.
Why would I be flipping around and anyone
I don't know. Well, you seem to front roll roly-polies on my bed and I get to see it all the time. Anyway.
My dad listens to this podcast. You brought it up.
I didn't. I said your
I can't get rid of it.
Yeah, you can.
Well, how can I get rid of it?
I'm sure that there's surgery for that.
I'm not going to go and get...
There's Pals cream.
I'm not going to get a grape surgically removed from my butt.
I don't really know how Pals happens, but it's hideous.
Oh my God.
You know, my dog died of Pals. My dog died because he had Pals. Actually.
What do you mean?
Okay, I had Dobermans, Charlie Brown.
It died because it had piles.
Rest in peace. Seriously, you stopped laughing at him. Okay, I kept seeing like this thing spurting out of his bum. I was like, Mum, something's wrong with Charlie. And they said he had piles. I think that actually they misdiagnosed him and he had bowel cancer, poor guy.
Oh my God.
it's really sad we put him down.
You can't be misdiagnosed between piles of and
well,
bowel
cancer. Someone told me it was piles because that's how I first learned about piles.
I saw something on Instagram, TikTok, which is, you had a hamster, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did your hamster ever just become cold and die?
They both went missing. I don't know what happened to either of
them.
They
both went missing?
Chip and Biscuit, they just disappeared one day.
What do you mean they disappeared? So,
one day they weren't in the cage. I swear to God, both. Mum and Dad, what the hell did you do with Chip and Biscuit? Chip, Biscuit was my first one. So cute. He was like grey. He was like that colour.
Yeah.
He was really fat. And he went missing. I think we had him in the roly-poly, the ball. And like, he just went around the house and the ball was open. And we were like, no. And my sister was...
like he was a flatmate. He just put him in the ball. You can't just put him in the pool, just let him roam
around. No, they go...
It's not like a human.
Yeah, but it's contained.
It's obviously not, because Chip disappeared.
No, that was Biscuit. But my sister kept telling me that she thought that he had mated, like she couldn't get over this OCD obsession that he had mated with rats and Biscuit was going to come back. I think Biscuit came back and she was really fat. I don't know if it was boy or girl, but George was convinced it had mated with a rat in our house and it was pregnant with rat babies.
Why are you letting it run around the house? It's like it's a child.
It was having fun.
Well, so if you can't let a hamster or a guinea pig or whatever.
What, you would lock it up?
Yes.
Cruelty boy.
No, cruelty, but you can't just let it run.
Anyway, Chip.
It doesn't call. You don't go, Chip,
yeah, but I think
and they
I
come
could,
running.
I could see the ball from a mile away. So I pick it up, take him out the ball, put him back into his cage. Anyway, Chip was really bitey and feisty. I'm not much of a fan of Chip. And one day I woke up. By the way, the fucking cage was in my room. And my mum, I was so scared because my house was haunted that my mum decided to get me to hamster so I would sleep in my own bedroom. So you sleep in their bed every night. And then it was so loud, it'd be like, all night long. I just ended up sleeping in their bed all night. Anyway, I woke up one morning and Chip was gone. And that was the last we ever saw of him. I don't know what's funny about that.
It's just ridiculous. Anyway, my point is that apparently hamsters, people kept thinking that hamsters, when they find them and they're cold and they feel lifeless. And so then they were just, and go and bury them. They would go and bury them.
Surely they, no.
Yeah, they were cold and lifeless and they would go and bury them because they were so upset the hamster died. Turns out the hamster's just hibernating.
Oh my God, Mum, if you found Chip in my cage and he was cold and you hid him and buried him because you thought he was dead, he was just hibernating.
And you buried him alive?
I don't think my mum would have buried him.
Okay. Well, where would you have put him then?
She probably just placed him on some leaves.
Outside?
What, will you keep a dead hamster in your house?
Okay, anyway, shall we begin the episode?
Let's go.
Hello, I'm Jamie Lang.
And I'm Sophie Lang.
And we met 5 years ago.
And we're...
married!
Married!
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
That's right. Can't get rid of me. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to...
Newlyweds.
Oh,
my God. Hello, everyone. And welcome back to Newlyweds. I'm Sophie Abu, and...
This is my...
Podcast.
No, husband.
This is my husband, Jamie.
Hello, everyone. Welcome.
Nose.
Yeah, a little bit of sniffle there. Welcome back to your OG, the original gangster listeners. And hey, maybe you're a new listener and you haven't listened to this podcast before. Welcome. Hey, come, take a seat, relax.
Pour yourself a cup of hot cocoa.
Yeah, just have a great time, you know. Honey, I thought I'd give you some space at the beginning of the episode to tell me what I've been annoying you about. What things have I been doing recently that
for God's sake.
I thought it would be a nice space.
I've got a bone to pick with you.
I don't
Do you have any other things to talk about other than the amount of bones that you have to pick with
I just thought I would give you space to get it off your chest.
Okay, all right.
Okay, go on, just whatever you want.
Okay, you really want to go there?
Go on then. What?
I am a working woman.
Yes, you are, baby.
And Jamie is still living in the dark ages where he thinks that women should cook and clean.
Oh my God.
And he gets cross if he comes home to a house that isn't spotless when I leave the house at 6 a.m. and I don't get home till 7 p.m.
Sophie, I'm going to stop you right there. I know
you are home gaming more than me. Yeah, you have your Zoom calls at home. And you are like, you don't cook for me. You don't clean for me. I'm like, I don't have time, bitch.
Sophie, that is the biggest lie. Admit that you're lying.
No, I'm not. I am not lying.
You are lying through your teeth.
But then you want me to work because what am I doing right now? This is called work.
Honey, okay, we'll go there. Guys who are listening to this, that is no truth in that. What?
Yeah, it is.
So
yeah, it is.
Ever.
Yeah, it is.
We have what we have in our house.
Have you ever made me a cup of coffee?
I don't know how.
Learn.
I don't know how.
Have you ever made me a cup of tea?
Yes.
No ways. Have you ever made me breakfast?
Yes, I made you the scrambled eggs the other day.
Okay, what other thing in my entire life of knowing you have you made me to eat?
I don't cook that well. I don't cook.
Why should I cook?
No, you shouldn't cook. Hang, I've never. Hang on a second. I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, guys, you had
okay,
it.
I'm going to give what happens. So, Sophie, we have these rules, right? Well, not rules, but we have these like little things we do. So, Sophie will make the bed in the week and I'll make the bed on the weekends. I take out the bins every
2 days, fast five. Okay.
I take out the bins every single time.
No, you don't. We have a cleaner 3 times a week.
No, we do not.
Who does that?
I take out the bins.
Never seen you do it. I take them out.
No, you do. Yeah. No, I do not.
I took them out yesterday morning and you didn't even
remember. I took them out. No.
Tied them up
because one of them stank of yogurt. I took it out.
And who eats yogurt? Not me.
Yes, what?
Okay,
hang on.
You
give
were
me
meant
my
to put
space.
The bins back in. Give and me you my, didn't.
Oh my god. So I do all the bins. I do all
not
the.
Not true.
I do all the bills. And now
you do all the bills because they're all in your name. And I try and call them up and pay, and they go, "You have to have permission from James Robin Grant."
Okay. The only thing that you do at the moment, okay, the thing is you make the bed.
Watch it.
Well, the only thing that you're meant to sort of make the bed. And sometimes I've been making the bed recently. This is what.
I wonder why? Because I get up and go to the gym at 6 a.m. and Lazy Bones over here is still asleep.
Okay.
How am I meant to make it when you're in there?
Okay. When Sophie comes down, this is what Sophie does. Sophie will, I kid you not, she'll come down and she'll go and open up a cupboard and look in there, trying to, nothing with it. So she'll leave the cupboard open. She'll then go and make a cup of tea. She'll dip the tea bag in it, leave the tea bag on the side, just on the table. Like that.
No, guys, when I say that is an absolute categorical lie. I've never done that in my life. It would stay. I don't even make tea. Don't even drink tea. Hate tea. It annoys me.
What is that tea bag you leave in the sink?
I've left 2 tea bags in the sink. Sorry, cuff me. Not on the side, may I add.
You're wonderful. You are truly, truly wonderful. But you are, just admit it, a little bit messy.
No, I don't. Okay, I am a little bit.
This is Sophie's routine in the morning at the moment, guys. Okay, so Sophie is, she's killer at the moment. She'll get up at 6 in the morning. She goes to the gym. She works all day. You're bossing it. And I admire it massively. However, this is Sophie's morning routine at the moment, okay? That's the alarm that goes off in the morning. I wake up like we're at war. I'm like, oh my God.
It's
like
just a normal iPhone alarm.
Okay, it goes off. Sophie, then I hear this. And she takes out her retainers and then she goes, and you hear.
Okay.
She puts it in a cleaning machine.
No, but guys, this is amazing for anyone who's had Invisalign or retainers. You had to brush them for. I found on Instagram this thing called Zimmer Dental, and it cleans them in a machine. So sorry, I've got clean teeth and I've got good hygiene.
Okay,
not you, smelly breath.
Okay, you do that. Anyway, she then gets up. She then what she does every single morning is I sort of roll over and I go in morning. She goes, row, row, and does the salsa dance next to the bed. It's 6 in the morning. And she's doing a salsa dance. And then she goes, I'm so excited. And I go, oh, what about? And she goes, I don't know. I'm just excited.
I'm excited today because we're going to watch a movie.
We're going to watch Wonka. Yeah, therefore, because we're hosting the red carpet.
We're hosting the red carpet. But like, how fun is that? We're going to the cinema in the day. So I woke up so excited this morning. I was like, woo, we're going to the cinema.
Anyway, so she does that as her morning routine. Then, you know what? I start talking to Sophie occasionally.
I'm not that annoyingly excited every day.
You do this salsa thing. You do this like, and then you get closer to me. And then every single time, you do it every single time, you pull down your pants and you go,
No, I don't.
Like when I'm on the Zoom and you just start, you smack
your
bum.
No, I don't.
You do.
I don't.
You do.
I don't. I do that on the Zoom and I'm still going to continue doing it because it is so funny when Jonathan Baines is on the other line.
My stepfather.
He really then, serious. Anyway.
And then the other morning you went into the shower and then you came out and you went, I've shaved. I'm like a dolphin.
No, guys, that is not what happened. It's wild, your lies.
You did.
No, you did. No, because when you said you're as smooth as a dolphin, which is weird of you to have said, because I just shaved, yeah, everywhere. Lovely smooth legs. Not everywhere like that. Like, I shaved all my legs. Oh my God, I sound like a hairy beast. I'm not. You're fucking rank.
So I could keep it.
What's funny about that? I'm lasered there and I'm lasered here. This is so TMI. This is not where I was going to go.
We should also probably mention the fact that we still got parking tickets to pay as well. That's my last thing. You've got to pay those parking tickets.
You've got to drive, learn to drive.
Well, I did. This is amazing, guys. The other day I was driving with Sophie in her car. The name, and I can drive in it because she's a driver and I'm a learner. I don't have my license. My license has come out, which is amazing. And it's the car's in Sophie's name. And I was driving a little too fast and I got flashed. He's gonna have to take the 3 points.
Your face is like it's about to burst. It's so rad. No, but we haven't got that through.
Oh, it's coming, baby.
How long does that sort of stuff take?
2 weeks. Oh, about the right time. Here it comes.
Oh,
3 points.
For God's sake.
Yeah, you can go on a driving course. And
I've already done many of those, Jack, as you can probably imagine. So, oh my God, once I was doing one and Jamie walked in the back naked and the guy goes, and he was like, rah, 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 I'm just off here. And he was like, excuse me, no one else is allowed to see who else is on this Zoom. It was on a Zoom.
So we had to do a driver awareness course. Was
speed
that
awareness.
Speed course. Awareness course, because you got speeding for whatever the 100th time it was. And you did this course. I think I walked in the background because your camera was off, I thought.
No, it's always on. You have to have them on. I was like, hey, everyone.
And I walked naked in it.
Yeah.
Did everyone see me naked?
Yeah. And the guy, he almost disqualified me because you're not allowed to, like, part of
disqualified
the.
Disqualified you?
Yeah, part of the rule. Shush. Part of the rule is that you can't, no one else is in the room. Like, it's very anonymous. Like, the other people don't want you to know who they are, you know? That vibe. I don't know. You keep me in here for quite a long time and look, I've got like an hour of attention span.
Okay, baby. All right, listen, I tell you what.
You tell me what.
I'll tell you what. We have a really amazing episode today. Unbelievable episode.
I'm really excited.
For many reasons. Well, one reason is because we're about to go into our favourite part, listeners' messages, and we have some amazing things to say about that. But if you stick around for the rest of the episode, last episode, what the hell was that you were doing?
I was trying to yawn silently.
God, I thought you were like doing a weird face. Anyway, we have a really amazing episode because last episode we talked about the fact that Sophie is very broody.
Okay, let's just chill out with this because you might jinx things.
I'm not going to jinx it. And we said that this episode we would bring on someone to talk about fertility, talk about babies, talk about sperm, talk about all the things that actually people don't really talk about. So later in the episode, we have Helen, who is the founder of Hertility Health, who's going to come on and talk to us all about ovaries, sperm, babies, everything we need to focus on. And it's going to be amazing. So stick around for that. Okay. You know what time it is, baby?
Oh, yeah, I do.
What time is it, honey?
It's listeners' messages.
Yeah, right, is it? It's time for listeners' messages. As we always say, a huge thank you to everyone who keeps sending in our listeners' messages. It is amazing. The fact that people still listen to the episodes and still love it. We're over the moon. And last episode, we did messages of love.
I love.
With that. Zoe.
Oh my God.
Amazing. And do you know what? We actually want to go. Zoe, if you haven't listened to the episode, Zoe was in a wheelchair. She couldn't find love. And then she did. And it was amazing. Do you know what? Again, I feel like there's a bit of like hecticness in the world. And so
yeah.
A little bit of hecticness going on. And I think messages of love is an amazing thing. So I thought we would focus on messages of love again this episode.
I love that.
We're going to kick it off with Rhea Craven. I worked at a bridal shop and also part-time waitress at a wedding venue in the town where I lived. One day, the wedding venue called the bridal shop and asked if they could borrow a dress for the day, and they wanted to put on a mock wedding at the venue for an open day so couples could see how the layout would be for weddings there. They also asked if I knew anyone that wanted to be a bride for the day. Spend the day in a dress and pretend to be a bride? I was up for that, so I agreed. They advised that they would find me a groom. On the day, they took me upstairs, put on the dress, tiara, and veil. I was actually getting nervous, and it felt like a real wedding day. I was taken down the stairs with a photographer taking photos, then walked into the room full of strangers and down the aisle to meet the most handsome man I had ever met. The minute he smiled at me, I knew he was the one. We shakingly managed our mock vows in front of the crowd, then sat at the top table and got to know each other whilst discussing how our pretend future would plan out. Fast forward 11 years, we now live happily together in our beautiful home with two gorgeous children, a wonderful dog, and have so far had the most 8 wonderful years of marriage together. Also, for bonus points, he managed to surprise me with the marriage proposal in the room where we first met at the venue with "Will you marry me?" spelt out in candles on the floor.
I'm sorry, my whole body's got goosebumps. I actually don't like the feeling of this goosebumps.
That is
unreal.
He is my soulmate. Couldn't imagine my life without him. Let's spread love.
I'm sorry, that's unreal. I actually feel emotional with that.
Oh my God.
Okay, we've got another one and it's from Anonymous. My now husband and I met in school in 2004 at 15 and 16 years old. We dated on and off throughout our teens and 20s. Fast forward to 2017. I was in a very abusive relationship, at the end of which I sustained some injuries which required me to go to hospital. I'm so sorry. My now husband came to the hospital to be with me. He brought a bag full of items to look after me, including chocolate, sweeties, water, and a blanket. Since that evening, he has never left my side. We got engaged in November 2019, just before the pandemic. Fast forward to September 2022. After 18 years in the making, we got married. My mum suffered a heart attack on the morning of the wedding. After hearing from her post-surgery telling me to go and get married and knowing she was okay, we said our I do's. After which we went to the hospital to see her, wedding dress and all. Now, just over a year on, in September this year, why am I about to cry? We put on our wedding outfits and had a wonderful photo shoot with my mum.
Oh my God.
I emailed in, as I guess the point is, not every love story is a straightforward one, but I married my best friend who has supported me through some really tough times. In my view, love conquers all.
That is fantastic. That is amazing. I love that.
Oh my God, can I read the next one?
No, I'm going to read the next one. No, Ali, you just sit back and relax. Shh.
Okay.
Wow, these are amazing. You know, I just want a tangent just quickly.
Can I just say I really like this? It puts me in a really nice
mood. Do you know what? Good news. I'll just read the good story. News doesn't really have, like, it takes a long time to, like, accept good news. Bad news, we just see all the time. Boom, boom, news, whatever it is. And so we just think that there's loads of badness, but actually there isn't. There's greatness and goodness and love all around us. We just choose to ignore it sometimes.
Yeah, we're going to be like BBC News, but of love stories.
Ready, here we go. This is from Karen Smith. Back in 1978, when I was 15 years old, I was watching a holiday program which featured an active holiday and immediately booked the holiday. At the same time, a boy in Yorkshire called Neil was watching the same program and did the same thing. On my first night at the activity center, we were having supper when this whirlwind of a boy flung the door open and burst in, and a Cupid's arrow hit my heart immediately. My heart leaped out of my chest at the sight of him. We were both young and naive and spent the week hanging out together, camping, rock climbing, etc. It took until the last night to finally be on our own, where we sat on the upstairs windowsill and had our first kiss. We had to leave the next morning, and I realized we hadn't swapped addresses. When I got home, I wrote a letter asking the course tutor for Neil's address, as I wanted to return an item I had borrowed, which I hadn't. I then wrote to him and sent him a little gift. He rang me as soon as he received it. We phoned each other regularly and had long, soppy conversations, each of us dragging the phones into other rooms as far as the cables could allow so our parents couldn't eavesdrop. I thought about him a lot over the years. Later, I joined British Airways, and a friend told me he worked in Bermuda. The next time I flew to Bermuda, I thought I would look him up. I called out at the local police station, but his colleagues didn't know where he was, so I left a letter behind the desk and went off to do a shuttle to Baltimore and back. When we landed back that night, we were going through airport security, and there he was, right in front of me, waiting for me. I had the same response as I did all those years ago and was giddy with the feeling. We spent the rest of the day and night together, and in that time we both felt it was so right and natural. When I flew back to the UK, Neil later told me that he had said to his colleague as he waved me off that I would be his wife. Oh my God, this is like overpowering emotion. Over the months, we saw a little more of each other. By December, he left Bermuda and came back to the UK to be with me, despite only having met me for a total of 10 days. We moved in together immediately and were married 10 months later. We have known each other in total for 45 years and have been married for 36 years with two fantastic grown-up children and six golden retrievers over the years. We argue and grumble as couples do, but we are still so much in love with each other as we were when we first met. We are now retired and looking forward to many more wonderful years and adventures together. From Karen.
I feel choked up. That's the best we've ever heard. That's unbelievable. No, what the hell? More. Give us more, guys.
Oh my God, Jackie. Please, producer Jack, do we have any...
This is filling my cup up so much. I feel revitalized.
Do you know what? This message is always a bit hectic, but these are just wonderful.
They're so good, aren't they?
There's been so much better than the poo stuff.
I think we should do something about this. I think we should do something more. I don't know what it is, but I feel like we should just spread the love more.
Want to get some of these couples on.
Yeah, we should. Have we been sent loads of them?
There's loads.
Okay,
yeah.
So we don't want to do it all now. Maybe we start doing maybe little extra episodes or something where we can just flood them with love and stuff like that. But maybe we can work that out. Is there something that we can do extra, do you think?
What if we sort of gave back to the people with their love messages?
I would love that. I would absolutely love that. I think we should do something about it. I think what we should do is a great idea. Do you remember when I surprised you with the flash mob?
Yeah.
And it was amazing. I think we should do that for people who are in love.
A flash mob?
We should create a flash mob for the ones who are in love, for sending in these stories. So if they have a story of love, we want to create a flash mob with that person for their beloved partner and create this amazing moment of love for them. I think we should do it.
Okay.
So this is a great idea. So if you are someone who is in love and you want to surprise your partner with oodles and bundles and amazing bits of love, we want to create a flash mob for you. Please send us your story, send us your name, send us your details.
I think it would be really fun if people wanted to propose, we could help them the most incredible proposal. I mean, obviously we would keep it anonymous.
Oh my God, please.
But they could write in who they want to propose to and we could facilitate the most incredible proposal.
Oh my God. That would be...
We're just celebrating love.
That would be unbelievable because this podcast was made on us getting married and love. Yeah, and we'll keep it totally anonymous until it doesn't have to be anonymous because we want to talk about it. We don't have to mention your names. Anyway, if you're thinking of proposing and you want us to help you propose, send us an email, send us a DM, send us something, anything. We want to make that happen for you in the most magical way. Slide into our DMs at Newlyweds Podcast, or you can send us an email, newlyweds@jampotproductions.co.uk, and start your message with the word love. Please keep sending in all of your love stories as well. We want to hear more of them because they're just so amazing. They don't have to be stories of love. If they want to involve poo, we can do that. Sex, fertility, babies, marriage, whatever it is, we want to hear all of them. Just keep sending them in to our Instagram and our email. All of the links are in the description of this podcast as well. That would be amazing. But we really want to give back and produce a huge, amazing moment of love in a flash mob for someone. That would be amazing. Oh my God, I absolutely love that. Okay, there's too much love in the air. We got to get on with the episode. But that was awesome. Keep writing us all these stories. We love you guys. That's the end of
Listener's Messages.
Okay, I'm really excited for this, Soph.
I'm very excited.
I'm a little nervous at the same time.
I'm very nervous.
You don't have to copy what I'm saying.
I can't help it.
Okay. All right. So we have Helen, who, as I said before, is the founder of Hertility Health, which is an amazing company that looks into how your body is dealing with...
It looks at your female hormones, your female reproductive system.
I
don't know much. We need some educating.
We need some educating. Helen's going to come on because, as I said before, you know, when you get married at some point, Soph and I probably do want to go down the route of having babies. And so why not to prepare yourself for that journey rather than just suddenly jumping into it? And I think it's a really good lesson for everyone. So Helen is about to come on the podcast. I'm a little nervous. I hope I don't overshare.
I really hope you don't have to share. Just let the specialist do her thing. You know what I mean?
Please welcome to the podcast, Helen.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here.
So do you know what? So we've been speaking recently about fertility and eggs, and honestly, it's been the feedback that we got from the episode was just insane, because actually it's one of these things that no one really talks about that much. And I got told this thing, it's like, you know, Sophie and I are married now, but people are told the entire time, we said in the last episode, to not get pregnant, you know, all those kind of things, wear protection, then suddenly it's get pregnant. There's no in between.
Nothing.
It's hectic.
Yeah, I know.
So you're here to coach us through that.
I will not join you in the bedroom.
Wait, you're not there? Yeah. You're not there when
you
it happens?
You do the voice in your head.
I thought you were there when it happens and you tell us what to do, right?
You know what to do.
I don't think I do.
Okay.
But also, let's give a bit of background to Helen and you, because I've spoken about Georgia's situation. She's really open about it. You probably know more than I do, because I was saying, as I was saying, I was like, I'm getting this all wrong. And I mean, you literally are the savior in our family for that reason. So I don't know whether you could talk a little bit about that and also your whole business.
Yeah, so Helen, so what do you do?
So I am a molecular geneticist. Mm-hmm. So I lecture masters and medical students in UCL in reproductive science and women's health and prenatal genetics and fetal medicine. Mm-hmm. Lots of things to do with our health and how we make babies and how our bodies make babies. But I started my company, Hertility, a few years ago because I was really frustrated that as a scientist with so many years of education and research behind reproduction and women's health, I actually had no answers about my own body. Mm. And that's a very strange position to be in when you're lecturing people about the statistics and thinking, I'm actually ignoring these statistics for myself because I'm thinking that I'm probably fine. And so I started Hertility to give women the opportunity to investigate their menstrual cycles, to understand their symptoms, to understand their fertility, and to just really be an expert in their own body. And that is something we should all be. You know, we have information at our fingertips on our phone and we can look up the answer to everything. And yet one of the most profound questions there is can I have a baby? And we have no way to answer that.
Can you give me some statistics then? What are the statistics? You're going to scare me, aren't you?
They're bleak.
Oh, no.
They're sad.
Are they really?
Yeah, they're sad.
Okay, well, give them to me.
So the World Health Organization has just announced that it went from 1 in 7 to now 1 in 6 couples are infertile, so cannot get pregnant. And 1 in 3 women will have a gynecological condition at some point in their lives. So when we think about screening programs, you know, we do cervical screening for cervical cancer, but your chance of cervical cancer is 1 in 164. Your chance of a hormone imbalance is, you know, nearly 63% looking at our database. So we should all be screening our hormones. We should all be just screening our overall health to know where we're at. Each person's health is very unique to them. So sometimes, very often actually, statistics really don't do us any favors, because you're either in the camp who says, it's going to be me, or you're in the camp that says, not me, no matter how high the odds.
That is fascinating. I didn't know it was that high. 1 in 6 people are infertile. Yeah. Couples are infertile. Yeah.
Oh my! And how quickly do you have good eggs and bad eggs? This is what
I'm now freaking out.
Yeah, like, this is scary.
What do I need to do?
I'd like to bring you a bad news.
Oh my God, you're like the Grim Reaper in here. What's
great. I've been called many things, but not that. In terms of good eggs and bad eggs, we're all very unique. There's a lot of different reasons why people struggle to conceive. A lot of it is down to a lack of education, simply about how to get pregnant. As you said, we spend our whole lives being told, do not get pregnant. And assuming that if we even look at a phallic object, we could get pregnant. And that narrative really is among both boys and girls. And it really shouldn't be the way. We should be saying, here is how you get pregnant. Here is the short window in which you can get pregnant every single month. Everything outside of that, you can't. So game on.
Okay, I feel like I'm learning to ride a bike for the first time.
Yeah, oh, it's my wild. God. Yeah, why are we not taught this at school?
I don't know.
I'm literally, what window are you, what is this little window?
It's a very important window.
What happens in that window?
It's when you ovulate, so.
Oh my God, I don't even know what that means.
Okay, we're going to go back to basics. Okay,
start again. We need to go. Everyone is just banging their heads on the, sorry, I don't know what ovulating means. Okay, is that when you're, oh God, I don't know what to say.
You don't ovulate.
I know I don't ovulate.
Okay, no. Good. But at least you've got that.
I think ovulating is when your eggs are reproducing. What does that even mean?
I don't even know.
Guys, this is really bad. I don't know what ovulation is.
You don't know ovulation?
No, Helen, please.
Is it when your womb is doing something?
When your eggs come out?
Okay,
when you
have your period? Wait a minute. I need to break out a uterus here. Okay. I have brought this.
Okay.
As a visual display. At Artility, we went back to the textbooks and we said, if most people can name all of the Kardashians, I don't even know how many there are, so I'm the opposite, and yet they can't label the parts of their body, we need to normalize anatomy.
Helen.
Anyone know what this is?
Helen, listen.
That's the vulva.
No, hang on a second. You are looking at a professional. point at something and I'll tell you exactly what it is.
I am pointing to this round object here that's attached
I'm gonna walk you through the vagina. That is the vagina.
I don't want to walk through any vagina. You're only supposed to go out of a vagina once in your life. I don't want to go. Okay.
I'm gonna start. So on the far left hand side or right hand side, you have two little things that sort of come around and they're clutching onto the eggs.
No.
Okay. So they go around the outside.
So don't come to me.
Don't come to you. Come on, Soph. You got one.
Okay.
Big.
I think that's this bit is the
what bit?
Walls, the lining.
This bit here.
Yeah.
That's vulva.
That's the vulva.
No, it's not, guys.
That's
Jesus.
The cervix at the bottom.
This is the cervix. This is the cervix.
God, yeah.
I thought that was the clitoris.
Oh, fucking hell. We're going to have to get one out here, guys. Okay, you've both said vulva so many times that I usually love saying vulva just to make people feel uncomfortable, but.
Okay, where is it? So for anyone who is listening, there is a diagram of a vagina that Helen
it's
is holding.
It's not a vagina. Okay, it's not
what is
vagina.
It? What is it?
It's the female reproductive anatomy.
Okay.
These must be this is the womb inside.
This is the womb.
Boom!
Yes.
2 out of...
Sorry, you're a lady. You're a female.
Okay. That is the womb. That is the cervix. That's the lining, the inner wall.
This is the inner, yeah. This is the lining. But what are these guys?
So the two things on the either side of the womb.
Oh my God.
Ovaries.
Ovaries!
Of course, it was on the tip of my tongue.
I said eggs.
Yeah, the ovaries contain the eggs.
Well,
I had to be a little bit of
okay, that's very true.
But understanding this system is key to how we create life. And
why
it's one of the most... Why? Because life begins in here for every one of us. Life begins within the womb. And every single month, our ovaries produce a single egg that is released, travels along the fallopian tube, waits here for the sperm to show up. And if the sperm doesn't show up, the lining of your womb, which is built up every single month, being like, please, it's going to be this month, then goes, no baby, no sperm, I'm going to shed. And that's when you have your period. So you bleed.
That is fascinating.
So your body every single month is so optimistic in thinking, it's going to be this month. We anticipate from a reproductive and biological standpoint that we are going to get pregnant every single month,
mm-hmm.
which is very unrealistic.
That would really. Be ready.
I mean, evolution does need to keep up with that.
Yeah.
But because we now silence all of these intrinsic and natural notifications that our body gives us,
mm-hmm.
we are really none the wiser as to this process. And when it happens every single month, when you ovulate, your estrogen is at its peak. Your estrogen affects almost everything about you. You're more confident. You have clarity of thought. It even is linked with collagen in your skin, so you look more beautiful. Mother Nature wants you to procreate. So she will do her best. She'll make you funnier, better looking, more erudite.
Just all round, 10 out of 10.
So that's why the menopause hit.
Yeah.
It's a tough gig.
Wait, hang on. We'll explain that. What do you mean when menopause hits?
When menopause hits.
Which is when we don't reproduce eggs.
When your ovaries run out of eggs. So you've got basically no estrogen left.
Wow,
so
you're not body, having a glow up almost.
It's more than a glow up. It actually is linked with estrogen. We tend to think of estrogen. Like, what do you think of when I say estrogen?
The stuff that comes out your boobs.
Oh my god, this is worse than I thought.
Estrogen, I think the female hormone, testosterone, estrogen. That's what I think.
What is wrong with me? I'm going to sound so.
Did you just say soya milk?
I did. It's in soya milk, right? Yeah.
If I squeeze my nipples hard enough, they can lactate. And yeah. I thought that was estrogen.
No, that would be prolactin, if anything. But
why does that happen, Tim?
I'd maybe stop squeezing your nipples. Prolactin's a hormone that literally pro-lacto, like making milk. It's a hormone that helps us produce milk. But even if you touch your boobs, your prolactin rises. It's an interesting fact. Our bodies are very receptive to external. Stop squeezing your nipples.
Stop squeezing my nipples.
Yeah, basically. Stop trying to milk that.
Okay, so let's take a step. This is far more insanely complicated and interesting than I ever thought it was going to be. So if we take a step back. So menopause is when your womb stops producing eggs.
Your ovaries stop producing eggs. Yeah.
And
so we're born with all the eggs we'll ever have.
Yeah.
We're born with like 2 million eggs. And as we get older, that drastically diminishes over time. So
that's why people are like, you know, your good eggs are when you're younger.
Yeah.
But it's just because more you just have
more of them. It's two factors, the amount and the quality of eggs. So the amount of eggs you have when you're younger obviously is more and the quality is better. We love to isolate different events and different body parts. You know, when you go drinking, you're like, oh, my liver. But actually, it affects your stability. It affects your balance. It affects your brain. It affects almost all of your ovaries. It affects all of your organs. So, you know, living lives that are full of fun things can actually really impact your overall health. And given that you're different, we'll come to you in a second.
I was born different.
Yeah, your ovaries are all over the place. We carry these precious eggs with us our whole lives. And so whatever things we've been up to, we also expose our eggs to, which is something I think more people should know from an earlier age.
I'm sorry, I would have conducted myself, not that I've done loads of crazy things, but if I had known that...
Mother hen, sit on your eggs.
I just wouldn't... Like, that's... Why are we not taught that at school?
I think we can all agree, I mean, and the huge majority of people, that we have done things which we abuse our bodies, whether it's alcohol or maybe having a cigarette or, I don't know, I'm sure playing rugby for me can probably not be the best.
Cycling is actually very bad.
So all these things.
It really blocks off the blood supply to your...
Yeah,
It's the saddle. It really blocks off the blood supply to there. Male cyclists are more prone to erectile dysfunction.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh no, you were a cycle bunny.
Producer Jack is freaking out. Okay, get rid of that bike now. So I imagine that if someone is going through this journey and they are suddenly going to go and get their eggs checked or they're going to get their sperm checked, whatever it is, you can potentially reverse it and make it better. Is that right? No, don't tell me it's not right.
You can't increase the number of eggs you have. You can help with the quality, but through the most basic means, which is just understanding your lifestyle choices. Even with people who don't ovulate regularly, you can very often resume ovulation just through healthier lifestyle and exercise. So food is okay. the best medication for almost everything.
Oh, so, great.
So give us the food.
Food.
The one thing I'm really scared of, I saw on your Instagram, vaping. And I just feel like people need to know this because the whole Gen Z world is walking around with a vape.
Yeah.
And I've done it. Apparently,
I know.
It's, I don't anymore.
It's, you don't
it's
anymore.
Detrimental to egg production.
Oh, what?
Well, it's we don't know. Nobody's ever done
the
studies.
Test. Who knows the studies?
A long time ago, I did a study looking at the effect of e-cigarettes on sperm, and it really does have an impact on sperm. The food that we eat is very important for essentially almost every process. That sounds very obvious. And we sometimes give such throwaway generic pieces of advice to people, which is stop smoking, stop drinking, eat healthily. What we eat produces byproducts, right? Mm-hmm. We digest, but also the food we eat also has byproducts. Mm-hmm. So think about sourdough. Have you ever made sourdough?
Not made it.
No,
me
either. I've eaten it. I've eaten a lot of
sourdough. I need to actually learn to make this. So
I don't know how to make. I wouldn't know how to make sourdough.
Think about sourdough or
tiger bread.
Kombucha or okay. even fermenting beer.
Yeah.
Right? You start with a ferment. It's literally a fermentation process.
Got
so
it.
If you were to feed your sourdough culture with, you know, just random sweets or chocolate, I mean, you're not going to expect that to thrive. It needs to be fed certain things in
Got
order for
it.
That culture, which is a live bacteria, to thrive.
So it's your garden. You need to.
It's
you need,
our garden.
It's our garden. We need to water it in
really
the right way.
I'm really good at this. I'm very into my gut microbiome. I eat sauerkraut. I eat kimchi,
Great.
Fermented food.
So, this is amazing for your estrogen.
Okay. God, the reason why we want to speak to you as well is because Sophie is feeling incredibly broody.
Okay.
You are. You've said it. You said you are feeling broody.
No, we just, in general, obviously, our aim in life is to start a family.
We're not trying for kids at the moment.
Shit, you have no idea how to do that.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I thought the clitoris was on the
yeah,
womb.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. No wonder he can't find it.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Say more than you need.
You know, but we are. But, you know, and I think, you know, Sophie has a sister she's spoken about who has gone down the road of IVF. I have friends, and one of my, you know, great friends of mine said when they were first trying for their first kid, they were having a really tough time. And they said, I just wish we had checked ourselves earlier, because then we wouldn't be in the situation now, which is a little bit more upsetting than it would have been before, not knowing this and that and not understanding it and then having to go through this whole journey while trying to navigate everything else.
Yeah.
And so we thought what a great way to do is chat to you about, okay, what can we do to check these things now before we go into and go, right, we're going to go and try and have a baby now.
Thank you. That
there
is
we go.
What I want everybody to do. It's the whole reason
we're
I've
pioneers.
Dedicated it the last...
We are pioneers.
Yes. This is what everyone should do. When you look cold-faced at the statistics, you should say, you know, I'm going to actually check myself before I wreck myself in a few years' time. We have this thought that we're all going to be fine and that you can have babies, you know, into your 40s. And we see this constantly in the press and images of famous people having babies in their 50s. And it's very misleading. It's like false advertising for women and men because they think, I'm probably fine. I mean, I'm only in my early 30s. Mm. But when you think from an evolutionary standpoint, 30 is quite old. Women used to have babies in their early teenage years, for right or wrong, and nobody's saying that was the good thing to do. But from an evolutionary standpoint, leaving it until you're 30 is actually quite late. It's just that our mindset as a generation has completely shifted, and it's actually shifted very quickly in a relatively short amount of time. So really only in the last 20 years has it become the norm to get married much later and to have babies therefore much later.
When women, as they get older, it's harder for them to reproduce, right? And that's why there's a sort of generalization where it's like, oh, you hear that women have a ticking clock. And that's this kind of upsetting thing that people always say, oh my God, I got this ticking clock. And for men, it feels like there isn't the same narrative. Is that true or false?
It is false. It's false. Yes, you can have babies till you're 70. But it's not true
Al
to the same extent.
Al Pacino is killing
it. Yes, I know. He's another false advertiser. So, you can still produce sperm and get somebody pregnant, but the quality of that sperm has gone down. So the mutational load, I shouldn't say the word load when I'm talking about this, but your mutational load doubles every 16 years. So
what
means that you accrue mutations as you get older.
So
you pass on
these blanks.
Yeah, you will pass on some pretty hectic mutations.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That is what? Not glamorous
so,
at all.
It's actually, sorry, it is wild that we don't know this.
Yeah.
And am I an anomaly?
No, like, I did not know this. This is my naive, immature, stupid brain thought, okay, I understand how it affects women. And I thought men can keep having babies until they're 80 and the sperm is exactly the same.
So did I.
And I had this, you know, it's,
who are you planning on having babies with in your 80s? It's not going to be with me.
I don't know, but I just thought that.
You're going to trade me in.
There's going to be loads of your kids running around. Jesus, yes. No. You wanted your army of Jamies.
Traded you in. No, but I didn't. That is so interesting to know. I did not realize that.
I think if we go back to the screening,
yeah.
The reason everyone should do it, as you say, everyone should check themselves. And it's not a wild thing to think that we should all check in on our hormones and our reproductive health. Again, a lot of people come to me and they say, don't want babies, don't want to know. And your reproductive system impacts you irrespective of your desire to have children. When we experience hormone imbalance, we are tired, we can't lose weight, we are cranky, we feel cold, most of us will blame ourselves when we feel these symptoms. And very often there's a true reason for it, which is that your hormones are out of balance. So about 63% of people who do a test with fertility have at least one hormone out of range. And there's something you can do for that. And it could significantly impact your day-to-day life, how you feel, how you present yourself.
I'm a bit excited.
Whether it's your skin, your mood, your weight, sleep, metabolism, appetite, sex drive, all of those are controlled by your hormones. But if you ask people, how are your hormones? They'll say, I have no idea.
Can I just ask, because I think also what we want to do here is because we step on this ground where perhaps someone is, you know, blaming themselves a lot of the time. And I think that's what happens where I think, because I've got friends who have spoken to me and said, oh, they blame themselves that they can't, you know, reproduce or have a baby. And it's very upsetting. And I want to say it's not anyone's fault, is it?
I mean, I think that's one of the primary reasons people don't get help sooner is that they assume that they're doing something wrong. And I think that moving away from that and immediately checking whether there is something physiologically or hormonally wrong it's actually quite liberating.
What is the best sex position to reproduce?
I'm really sorry you don't have to answer that.
Okay, get up.
Yeah. I was moving.
He's like, you are so excited right now.
Is there one? Or is it just straightforward missionary and that's totally relaxed as well?
So again, it brings you back to the study. How many people have done a study where they've said, okay, out of 100,000 people, what way did you do it? And did you get pregnant? We've got no data on this. Maybe we need to do this. This is the study we need to do. Legs up. Turn around. Yeah, no, we don't have the data. Sorry.
Okay, fine. We have no data. Just so that the big sort of heavy hitters in terms of drugs, alcohol, smoking, vaping, those are probably the areas you want to avoid when you're trying to have
100%. A baby. We've got this unique window, guys. 3 months minimum before you have a baby for you to be your purest self.
So that idea of let's
before
go have
you
a,
try or
before you try.
Fine.
Think of
so you, getting, you're
more, we can stop all drinking and stuff and then try for 3 months clean.
Yeah. Go clean for 3 months and then maybe try.
So that idea of let's go and have a couple of drinks, get a bit frisky,
yeah, exactly.
And then go and have sex and have our baby.
I'm ruining everything for you.
Yeah, that honestly. Okay, so it's literally like...
Okay, I like this.
So you like this?
It's just simple
You
things.
Like this because it's scheduled. Okay, it's a schedule. It's like, we're going to have sex on a Tuesday. Then we're going to have sex on a Saturday.
Well, and you will only be having sex when? When you ovulate.
Which is how many times?
You'll ovulate once every month.
What day?
You ovulate.
Oh, right.
Right.
Yeah, you're
fair. The egg is released. It will wait. And it... So there's around... 3 days of every month that you can actually get pregnant. The rest, you cannot.
I reckon my sperm is aggressive.
You're joking.
No, I'm not.
1 day a month you get pregnant.
3 days.
About three days a month. The sperm can live for about 3 days up there, so.
Okay, how do we do this test? So this is really important. So if Sophie was going to do the test, does she do it and then we get the reports later, right?
We send you a blood test. You do it at home.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a...
A prick.
It's just a prick.
She lives
You have
as
to
one.
Get used to those, yeah. And then you send it off to our labs and within 8 days, we'll give you the results.
When it comes to the dudes.
Yes, let's talk about the
okay.
dudes.
what do I need to go and what do I need to do?
I just wanted you to finish your sentence there. I need to go to a room with a pot
and what do I need to do?
Okay, so we're also going to arrange this for you because we're going to open up this. We say it's in the pipeline. This is it's coming soon. These are all our jokes about our male pathway, but we're going to sort this for you. Essentially, where I said we're born with all the eggs we have, so yeah. They're steadily declining over time. Men have a 3-month life cycle where you create new sperm. So that's
like a
why
snake
that
shedding its skin.
Exactly. God, no, don't use that.
Oh God.
So within that 3 months, yeah, you can significantly improve your sperm count, motility, progressive motility, concentration, all of these parameters that are important to sperm. And the reason I say those parameters is because when you look at sperm down a microscope, it's literally like looking at a subsection of society. There's some that are going, swinging across the screen, going straight for the target. There's others that are just twitching. There are others that are swimming in circles. Some sperm have two tails. Some sperm have two heads. It's wild.
I think mine are going to be hectic.
Some sperm
I think honestly,
do.
Mine are going to be hectic.
We don't want two heads.
Mine are going to be really hectic.
Yeah, hectic. We'll let you know.
That just I'll tell the story what? Later. No, I just no, I can't say.
Oh gosh!
All right, I thought it's fine. Do you remember that during lockdown?
No, I don't think you should. I don't know what you're about to say.
It's not that bad. But during lockdown, I had a very Sophie and I we had sex, and I had a very scary moment because I looked at my semen and it was a rusty colour. Do you remember this?
No, I
and
don't.
And I got so upset about it because I was really scared. I didn't know what to do. I was freaking out that I took a photo of it and sent it to my mum.
No, I'm really sorry. I really am sorry. You've never told me this and I was not involved in this. No, we were quite... That's so weird. I'm not happy about that at all.
She said, well, I need to see a photo. I need to see a photo of what it looked like. Oh my God. I really overshared that.
You really overshared that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, Helen, so what do I need to do?
Okay. So sperm health is very receptive to better lifestyle changes.
Yeah.
So it's pretty easy actually. Great. For you within 3 months. This is why it really annoys me when couples are trying to conceive, the woman is being holier than thou, changing everything about her life, and her partner is just out with the lads, yeah, doing whatever they, yeah, want. And even though the egg is the largest cell in the body, and even though the sperm is the smallest cell in the body, just it still carries 50% of the DNA. So
it's a teamwork.
It's a party guy that has a very important mission, but that 50% of the DNA is very much impacted by your lifestyle.
Okay. So yeah, it's a teamwork thing. And if you are doing it, be a team together.
So no more Wingstop for you.
Wingstop is a chicken place that I quite like. It's delicious.
Fast food.
Yeah, it's really yummy.
Yeah.
Okay. This is so we're going to do this test for Soph.
Yes.
Which is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
And then we're also going to do it with me.
Yes.
And
we're going to get you a sperm test.
And I think, and what I really just think, firstly, I just think there's this whole thing, you know, when I was saying that story about sex, right? We still have this sort of taboo around sex. We don't like talking about it. And we don't like mentioning the fact about our ovaries or our sperm, or we sort of hide away from it because it's sort of the subject. Oh, we can't talk about it. But actually having these conversations are so important.
So important.
So important. Yeah,
I think we should just normalize it it's us that makes things weird, mm-hmm, about sex, right? Should just normalize conversations.
So sending a picture to my mum is fine.
Totally fine.
There you go. See?
It's totally
fine. Be normalized. There you go. Helen, this is incredible. If someone wants to find Hertility, where can we find it?
We are HertilityHealth.com, mm-hmm, or HertilityHealth on Instagram.
When do I do my thing?
We'll get yours delivered to you this week.
Great.
But if you want, but you should abstain from
masturbating. Oh, that's going to be tricky with us. We're acting like rabbits.
Can't even.
No, we're not.
Well, she's just had her period.
I know. Yeah, and do you know what? I am so cheesy, but I just love her so much. And she gets just a bit grossed out at me because honestly,
No. TMI again.
Look, it's a societal problem that testosterone drives.
I think I'm overloaded with testosterone.
Yeah.
It's like once a month and it's overwhelming, the stench of truffles on
him. I am convinced that male hormones react from a pheromonal sense to female hormones, and that probably that once a month is when you ovulate.
I knew it. I sense it.
You're giving the vibes. Like
she gives
pregnant.
Me the vibes sometimes.
It's like the dog, like the little girl dogs when they're like mooshing.
She
little...
gives me the vibes sometimes, and I can tell she's giving me the vibe.
I'm not sure I believe that. I promise you. I sometimes look at my partner and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What? And he's like, you're looking at me like that. And I'm like, I just took milk from the fridge.
Yes. Sometimes she does that.
But she took it out in a sexy way.
Yeah, she's in the kitchen and she sort of does this sort of, ooh, look. I'm like, oh, I know what.
No, if
yeah,
I like, the truffle.
Yeah.
If I take my pajama trousers off because I'm hot in bed, he's like, oh, really?
Let's
I'm like,
go. Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. No.
Let's go.
I love that. When we get the tests,
yeah.
I don't know if Sophie will want to share. I will be happy to share
my
results. So we'd like to get you back on and and I want to talk about it as we reveal it on the podcast from my side.
I feel really good about doing that. Not only am I really excited and nervous and also so interested, I feel like I can't believe I've gone this far in my life not knowing those sort of things and to be able to help educate other people.
Mm.
I just feel like we're doing a good thing. Fertility Health is doing an amazing thing.
Yeah.
I found that very, very, very interesting.
I can't believe you didn't know what the womb was.
I can't believe you didn't know where the clitoris was.
It's not what you normally say. That was gross. I even grossed out of that.
Shake it off.
Okay, shake it off. What do you
shake
think?
It off. Like, I'm going to have to shake that comment off because it will stay with me all day long.
Shake it off.
It will ick me out the entire day long.
All right, everybody. Listen, thank you so much for listening to our podcast once again. If you haven't shared it with other people, please do go and share it with as many people as you can, because we just want to spread the word of love, of laughter, of entertainment, of happiness, of fertility, whatever it is. We want to just share it with the world. So please share it to as many people as you possibly can. We'd absolutely love that. If you want to get in touch as well, you can. We want to hear your stories. We want you to send in your stories of love. We also want to organize a proposal for you, or even a flash mob, just to show how much you love your partner. Please, please send us some messages. newlyweds@jampotproductions.co.uk. That's our email, or at newlywedspodcast on Instagram. Again, all the links in the description. We'd absolutely love to hear from you, wouldn't we, Soph?
Oh boy, would we.
Also, peeps, we're going on tour. Yeah, we bloody are. We're on.
Yeah, peeps.
Yeah, peeps. You can still get tickets. Glasgow, Manchester.
Dublin.
London.
Bristol.
No, Birmingham. Oh. Birmingham.
We're not going to Bristol.
No, we're not going to Bristol. Birmingham.
London. Woo.
Yeah. Again, another one.
Belfast.
No, we're not going there.
Oh.
No.
Oh,
Dublin.
I really got this wrong. I need to
Dublin.
Know. Dublin, Manchester, Birmingham. Dublin.
And Glasgow.
Boom.
Go and get your tickets. Link in the description as well. We want to see you there. Okay. We hope you enjoyed this episode. It's been a little bit different. Maybe we took a little more serious route. But if you liked it, we want to hear from you. So go onto our YouTube, and in the comments on our YouTube, which is Newlyweds Podcast, you can watch all the episodes there. Go and comment and say if you liked the episode, what you liked about it. We would love to hear from all of you. Your feedback, we absolutely love. And if you haven't subscribed already, please do, because it makes the world of difference. Okay. If you're getting engaged,
go do it.
If you're getting married,
way.
If you're single,
yeehaw.
If you just broke up,
oh, it's okay.
If you're getting a divorce,
you got this, girl and boy.
Okay. And if you are just living life and dating,
fuck yeah.
Oh my God, that was
it. Aggressive.
And if you're married,
fuck yeah.
And there we
no,
go.
I need
all
stars.
Right. Okay, really everybody, we'll see you next Monday for another episode. Until then, have a great week. Bye.
We love you. Bye.
Bye bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.